Turning to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4. And once you have made your place there or taken your Bible there, if you would also locate in your Bible the book of Revelation. There's a few verses I wanted to read in the book of Revelation as well. So 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. And then if you would look with me in the book of Revelation as well, chapter number 3. Now, this is not always the case when we preach, but it will be the case today. I would like to ask you to keep your Bible out and keep your Bible ready, because there are a few Bible verses that I want to read this morning. I want to quote for you, and I want you to be able to see them with me in your Bible this morning as we go through this message time. I wanted to preach a message that I think will encourage us as we move into this theme for the new year, just asking God to do great and mighty things in our life this year, that He would do it again. And so I wanted to encourage you from this passage of Scripture here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and then I want to begin in Revelation chapter 3. So we're going to mainly find our text in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, that will be the main thought and the body of our message this morning. But I wanted to use Revelation chapter 3 as a springboard this morning. Have you ever felt that in your Christian life it is possible for you to get to a place where you become comfortable or maybe just satisfied with where you're at? Sometimes we may call that, maybe perhaps spiritually speaking, the comfort zone setting that we might get ourselves in. Where we're kind of just comfortable where we're at and maybe perhaps not pressing on to do more for the Lord. Sometimes Christians can get in that comfort zone. We can get a little bit relaxed and maybe satisfied with the way that things are and not asking God to do greater things, not asking God to do the great and mighty things He truly wants to do in our life. By the way, I'll say this about our walk with the Lord. If you want to be in a comfortable zone spiritually or just a satisfied zone spiritually in your life, the Lord will let you stay there. He's not going to make you be on fire for Him. He's not going to make had relaxed spiritually. They had gotten to a place where they were just satisfied and just comfortable spiritually. And the Bible talks to us about that particular church age. As a matter of fact, if you know anything about the church age, that are the churches that are mentioned here and the church ages that are described in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, you'll know that the one that we're going to address this morning, which is starting in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14, is the church age of Laodicea. Now, if you know anything about these churches, and again, the different church ages in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, this is the church age that we are in today. As a matter of fact, this is the last church age that will take place. As a matter of fact, when we go through these different church ages, you see the type of church that would be the typical church that you would see in that church age. So I think the typical church that we see today is a church that's described as a Laodicean church. This is the church age that will be until the rapture of the church, until God takes us home to be with Him and we get to meet the Lord in the air. And so how does God describe this church age through John, who writes this book? Notice what he says about the church age that we're in today, the church of Laodicea. He says in verse 14, "And unto the angel," or the pastor, "of the church of Laodiceans," of the Laodiceans, write. Notice these words. "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." So who's saying these things? God is saying these things, isn't he? Jesus is speaking to us. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." Jesus describes it this way. He says your works are pictured or described this way. They're neither cold nor hot. He says, "I would rather you be one or the other as opposed to being in the middle. I would rather you be one or the other as opposed to being lukewarm. I would rather you be one or the other as opposed to straddling the fence and not knowing which side you're on." So notice what he says in verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now verse 16 reminds us of something that I just said. When we get to a place that when we're comfortable, we're satisfied, we're kind of lukewarm as a Christian and just content to stay there. Remember, I made this statement, it grieves the heart of God. Do you see God's heart being grieved here in this passage of Scripture? He said, because you're lukewarm, it's as if God says, "I would rather just spew you out of my mouth." The picture would be something we could understand today. Imagine thinking that you are taking a sip of a hot beverage and you find out it's lukewarm. It's almost as if you just want to spit it out. It just didn't enjoy it. It was supposed to be a hot sip and it turned out to be something that was lukewarm. Or maybe perhaps a beverage that you thought was nice and ice cold on a hot day. And then you take a sip of that thing and you find out that it hasn't been in the ice as long as maybe what it should have been, or maybe the ice is all melted and it's lukewarm and it's as if you would just spit it out of your mouth. That's what God says to describe the church age, which, by the way, is the church age we're living in today. It describes the average church today. And then he says, verse 17, if you'd look down there, he says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." And there are many today that feel that way, don't they? "I've got everything I need. I certainly don't need anything from the Savior." As a matter of fact, I've had many opportunities to go out soul winning and hear that very answer. "I've got everything I need. I don't need the church. I don't need Christ. I've got everything I need. I'm okay." He describes the church age, the day that we're living in, that way. But notice what Jesus thinks that we look like. We may think we're rich. We may think we have need of nothing. But notice how he describes us at the end of verse number 17. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He says, you see yourself one way. He says, but I see you a different way. Notice what the Bible says in verse 18. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." And then look at verse 19. "As many as I love." By the way, can I stop just for a moment and say this? Aren't you thankful that he still loves those that are lukewarm? And that's an encouragement to us, isn't it? He describes us as not being hot or not being cold, but he says you're lukewarm. But yet he says, "I still love you. I still care about you." But then he gives us an admonition. Look at what he says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And aren't you thankful that he chastens us? He tries to get us back where we should be. He says, be zealous. Hey, get on fire, he says. Therefore, and repent. Turn from that which you've done that has made you comfortable or has gotten you to a place where you're lukewarm or you're just satisfied. And let's get on fire. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I don't want you to be cold. I want you to be hot. By the way, being zealous or being on fire is opposite of being lukewarm, isn't it? We're to be on fire for the Lord. We're to be zealous for the Lord. And so I wanted to use that as a springboard into the passage of Scripture that we're going to take two verses from in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. So if you have your place there, if you'd look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, and we're going to look at a couple other Bible verses along the way that I hope will encourage us. But I want us to avoid having this comfortable zone setting set into our lives as Christians. And one of the ways that we can encourage ourselves is by looking at a passage of Scripture that we see in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, which happens to be a prayer. And it's a prayer from a man whose name is Jabez. You may have heard his name before. As a matter of fact, you've probably, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably read through this prayer that he prays in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. I want us to look at the prayer of Jabez this morning. And I trust that this prayer and the words that Jabez uses in this prayer will help us to avoid, will be a help to us so that we may avoid being lukewarm. We may avoid being just comfortable. We may avoid just being satisfied as a Christian and ask God to do great and mighty things in our life this year. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 9 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. And by the way, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Look at what it says at the end of verse 9. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The word Jabez means sorrowful. So she bare this son, this child of hers, in sorrow. And so she said, I named him Jabez, which means sorrowful. And then look with me, if you would, at verse number 10. This is going to be the main thought of our text this morning. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I want us to see three thoughts behind these two verses this morning. Number one, I want us to notice Jabez, his place in history. So number one, I want us to notice his place in history. And then number two, I want us to look at the prayer of Jabez. And then number three, which is the way we would need to finish any message or any sermon that we preach, I want us to notice an application for you and I today. So number one, the place of Jabez in history. Look with me if you would, and we're not going to read any verses, but I just want you to glance back down at 1 Chronicles chapter 4 if you would. As a matter of fact, you may need to turn in your Bible back a chapter or two. And if you look back to chapter 3, and if you look back to chapter 2, and if you look back to chapter 1 in the book of 1 Chronicles, what are we noticing here? We're noticing genealogies, aren't we? We're given many lists of genealogies and family members and the history of their families. Many lists are given. And if you would take the time to read through those lists, if you would take the time to read 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and chapter 3, and even when we get into chapter 4, and then it moves on even into chapter 5, you'll notice a list of genealogies. As a matter of fact, as you're reading through them, you're going to notice that this person lived and that person died. As a matter of fact, as you go through those genealogies, you do not see a record with many of their lives where you even see a lasting impression that they left or even details that God says about their life. But isn't it unique that when we get to the man Jabez, we see something special about Jabez? Think about his place in history. We're seeing all of these lists of genealogies, and then we get to Jabez, who gives us a prayer that, by the way, we are still preaching about and still talking about today. He leaves a lasting impression just with the words of verse number 10, which is a prayer that he prays to God. Now, can I ask you, by way of a truth or something I would have you to consider in your life, what about you today? When you have left this earth through death, a year after your death, 5 years after your death, 10 years after your death, what will be said of your life? What will be said of your time on this earth? Spiritually speaking, will you leave a lasting impression? As a matter of fact, remember what's said about Abel in the New Testament of our Bible. Remember, Cain killed Abel, didn't he? Because God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. And what does the Bible say about Abel? It says of Abel's life, he being dead yet speaketh. Isn't it true that your influence goes on, doesn't it? And that would be whether you have a good influence or whether you have a bad influence. Spiritually speaking, what will be the influence that you leave after your time on this earth comes to an end? You may have heard it said this way before, but on a tombstone, you see a birthday, and then you see a date of a death, and then in between, there's a dash, isn't there? So you've got the day of birth, you've got the day of death, and you've got the dash that lies between. You may have heard it said this way before, but what you do in the time of that dash is what's most important, isn't it? From the time you're born till the time you die. By way of a truth for our lives, or by way of an application for us this morning, would you apply this truth today? What will be said of you when your time on this earth comes to an end? Jabez's name, in the midst of this list of genealogies, stands out from the others, doesn't it? Why is that? Because Jabez is remembered for his prayer. Now remember, I told you I would go back up to the start of verse number 9. What does the beginning of verse number 9 say? And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now God said that in his word. We didn't say that. God said that of Jabez's character, didn't it? He was more honorable than his brethren. Could it be, when we look back to the start of verse number 9, that Jabez was considered more honorable than his brethren because he's remembered for his prayer life? Think about this man who now in verse number 10 cries out and talks to the Lord. It may be that we have a description of Jabez as being more honorable because he was a man of prayer. He was remembered, certainly, because of his prayer. Could it be that he was mentioned as being more honorable because he was a man of prayer? Are you a man? Are you a woman? Are you a young person this morning of prayer? May it be said of our lives that we're Christians who pray and seek the Lord, and that helps us to move into the prayer of Jabez. Would you notice that the prayer of Jabez has four different parts, and I want us to look at those this morning and make applications of those in our life. First of all, I want you to notice that Jabez talks to God here. Look at verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jabez is going to give to God some definite request. By the way, you'll notice he speaks to God. He's the one that we speak to in prayer, right? So he speaks to God, and he gives to God definite request. By the way, I love what the Bible says to us in the book of Romans chapter number 8. Have you ever had a time in your life where you've been praying and you didn't know what request to make? Maybe perhaps you didn't even know how to word your prayer. Have you been like that before? You say, I don't even know what to say. Here's Jabez who gives definite request to God. It is possible for us today to give definite requests to God as well, because the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 8 that we have the Holy Spirit helping us while we pray. Isn't it great to know that He comes along beside us and He helps us while we pray? You say, well, why do you need the Holy Spirit's help? Because sometimes we don't know how to word our prayers. Maybe we don't know what we have need of. Hey, but we serve a God who does, don't we? And so His Holy Spirit comes along beside us and He helps us when we pray so that we can ask for requests from God that we have need of at that special moment. And that's what Jabez does. He gives some definite requests. Can we look at those four requests that he gives in the end of our message time? Notice what it says. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Jabez says in the first part of his prayer, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Number one, Jabez prays for spiritual prosperity. Note that number one. Jabez prays for spiritual prosperity. When's the last time in your life you have prayed specifically for spiritual prosperity? That God would bless you. Jabez was not content with the status quo. He wanted to see God do great and mighty things in his life. And so he prays to God for spiritual prosperity. And he asks God, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He wanted the blessings of God. Now, would it not be true? And I'm going to take you to a verse that I want to read for you this morning. It's found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse number 3. Would it not be true that every believer is already blessed? If we think about asking God for blessings, we would be asking God for things in addition to what we already have, right? Because we're already blessed, aren't we? If we would say, God, I want to have your blessings on my life, well, it would be above and beyond the ways that we've already been blessed. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God as believers who has already blessed us? But Jabez asked for blessings in addition to that. God, I'm asking you for spiritual prosperity. I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking you for fame. I'm not asking you for popularity. I'm not asking you for blessings or for possessions. But God, I'm asking for your best in my life. Now let's think and consider what Jabez is asking God here. That would be a way for us to say that Jabez is asking God for grace. God, I'm asking you for grace. I'm asking you for spiritual prosperity in my life. Grace to be able to be the person, God, that you desire for me to be. God, I'm asking you to help me to be the man that you need me to be. Ladies, to pray to the Lord and say, God, I'm asking you for spiritual prosperity. I'm asking for your blessings upon my life. I'm asking for your grace upon my life. God, it's as simple as me saying, God, help me to be the woman that you want me to be. For young people, God, that you would help me to be the teenager that you want me to be. For children, God, that you would help me to be the child that you want me to be. Help me to see spiritual blessings and spiritual prosperity, God's grace in my life. For husbands that are sitting in here, God, that you would help me to be the husband that I need to be. God, that you would help me to be, ladies, the wife that I need to be. Fathers, that you would help me, God, to be the father that I need to be. Mothers, to pray to God and say, Lord, I want you to give me spiritual prosperity. I want you to give me your blessings. Lord, I'm asking you to give me grace in my life. I'm asking you to help me to be the mother that you desire for me to be. To get into your word and see what you would have for me to do and live in such a way where I bring honor and glory to your name. Let me ask you, when is the last time you've asked God for spiritual prosperity in your life? I want you to look at a verse with me, if you would, and it's found in the New Testament of our Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to look down at verse number 10, because as I was studying through this, I felt like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10 gave an accurate picture of what Jabez is asking here. He's asking for spiritual prosperity. He's asking for God's blessings, God's grace to be on his life. And look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10, if you would look with me there. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Can I say this to you? Spiritually speaking, you are what you are spiritually only because of God's grace. There's nothing in and of ourselves that enables us to be some kind of a super Christian or some kind of a spiritual giant or a spiritual hero. It's only by God's grace that we prosper, and by God's grace that we see his blessings. So notice what Paul says at the end of verse number 10. "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Now notice the end of the verse. "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Hey, when you ask for God's spiritual prosperity in your life and you ask God for his blessings in your life, it's a way for you to ask him for his grace. Is his grace evident in your life today? Not just for salvation. We know we come to the Lord for salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith. But are you living by God's grace today? Is he sustaining you? Is he continuing a work in your life so that you're seeing spiritual prosperity and spiritual blessings in your life? So number one, what does Jabez ask for? He prays for spiritual prosperity or God's grace in his life. But then number two, would you look with me at the second part of the prayer that Jabez prays? It says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, All that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And now look at the next part. "And," next four words, or next three words, "enlarge my coast." God, would you enlarge my coast, is what Jabez asked. What is Jabez praying for? Jabez is praying for widened horizons. God, I want to ask you for widened horizons. It's our way of saying this. Just like we said of spiritual prosperity, it's our way of saying that Jabez prayed for grace. Number two, Jabez is praying for growth. He's not only praying for grace, but he's praying for growth. God, would you widen my horizons? Would you make it possible for me to grow? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18 that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you realize that as a Christian you ought to always be growing? As a Christian, we ought to always be seeing widened horizons in our life. We ought to be asking God to enlarge our coast, to see us grow. But the sad truth is that there are many Christians that live today and their desire is just to stay in babyhood. They don't want to grow the way that God wants them to grow. They just want to stay like a baby, spiritually speaking now. Now, when I preached messages about growing, when I had opportunities to preach to children, I had opportunities over the years to preach to teenagers, I would always use the illustration, wouldn't it be odd if we have a baby that's in the nursery and 10 years later, that 10-year-old now is looking the same way it was as when it was born and it was in the nursery? That doesn't happen physically speaking, does it? A baby grows, doesn't it? And that's the same way it should be spiritually. We should not, 5 years after salvation, be staying in the same spot spiritually as we were when we first got saved. And then 10 years down the road, we ought to see growth. We ought to be seeing growth in our lives constantly, shouldn't we? And that's what Jabez is praying for. Jabez is praying for growth, that I won't stay as a baby. Remember what Paul said to those carnal Christians in Corinth? He said, "I had to feed you as if I was feeding a baby. You're still taking of the milk. You're not getting into the meat of God's word." Why? He says, because you're carnal. You haven't moved from the place of being carnal to spiritual, and so you're still in babyhood. God doesn't want us to stay in babyhood. God wants us to grow spiritually, to be the Christian that he wants us to be. So notice how Jabez words this. He uses some unique words. He uses the word enlarge. He says, God, I want you to enlarge. That word enlarge would be a way for us to understand that Jabez is praying, God, that you would extend to me more purposes or more uses for my life. God, I know you have a purpose for my life. Show me if there's anything I'm missing. Show me if there's another purpose that you have for me. Another way that you want to use me. God, I don't want to stay a baby. God, I want to grow to be spiritually the person and the Christian and the man that you want me to be. And then notice the next way he words it. He says, enlarge, notice the next words, my coast. That's a picture of boundaries or borders. It's a way for us to say it the way we started when we went to the second part of this prayer, that God would widen his horizons, that he would be able to reach out beyond himself and expand even his sphere of influence. It would be like us saying today, Lord, I want you to increase my capacity. We're living in a world full of lost people. Lord, use me to reach them. Lord, increase my capacity. Enable me to run into perhaps more individuals that need Christ so I can share the gospel with them. Lord, I want you to increase my capacity. Lord, I want you to deepen my faith, deepen my love for others, increase my faith, increase my love. Lord, I want you to give me more opportunities. Lord, I want you to help me to be more usable. Sometimes God wants to use us, but we haven't surrendered yet. We're not usable yet. God wants us to be usable, doesn't he? Lord, would you help me to be more usable as your child? Would you help me, as the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, to be more conformed to your image? Can I say this? That if you ask God for growth, along with growth can come testing and trials. Because that's exactly the way the Bible describes testing and trials. It says testing and trials take place as we grow. As you grow, the testings and the trials of life may come, but as you're growing, you're closer to God, who's the one that can help you through the testings and the trials of life. And then what is the principle that we see throughout God's word? When we are tried by the fires of trials and test, we come forth as gold, don't we? God helps us to grow, to be the Christian that he wants us to be. So number one, Jabez prays for spiritual prosperity. Number two, he prays for widened horizons. And then would you look down at the third part of verse number 10? He says this, and that thine hand might be with me. The third thing that Jabez prays for in his prayer is that God's hand would be with him. We said that Jabez prayed for grace. We said that he prayed for growth. And now number three, Jabez prays for guidance. Jabez prays for guidance. God, I want your grace to be upon me. I want to see spiritual prosperity. I want to see spiritual blessings. And God, I want to grow. I want you to enlarge my coast. Give me more opportunities. Make me usable. But God, I need you to guide me. I need your hand to guide me every step of the way. He prayed that God's hand would guide him. Can I give you a couple truths really quickly about God's hand guiding us? When God's hand is guiding us, it indicates that God's power is on our life. God's power is on our life as God's hand guides us. You say, well, how do you know this to be true? I want you to go to a passage of Scripture, if you would, with me. I want you to locate the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra. And when you find the book of Ezra, Ezra comes right before the book of Nehemiah. Ezra and then Nehemiah. Right before Esther and then Job and Psalms and Proverbs. Find the book of Ezra. And I want you to look, once you've found Ezra, I want you to look at chapter number 7. chapter number 7 of the book of Ezra, if you know the details behind the book of Ezra, you know that God is using Ezra to go back to the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple that was there in Jerusalem. Later, Nehemiah goes back and he rebuilds the walls. Do you remember that? Well, Ezra here in Ezra chapter number 6 gives us a wonderful, Ezra chapter 7, he gives us a wonderful picture of how God was giving him the power to do the work that he had called him to do. And we see it several times. Look at Ezra chapter 7 and look down at verse number 6 if you would. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the, notice this, hand of the Lord his God upon him. God's giving special power to Ezra. Why? Because God's hand is on him. You'll see God in a powerful way working in your life when his hand is on you. Look down with me if you would at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem. Now notice this. According to the good hand of his God upon him. What's happening to Ezra? Ezra's seeing God's hand and God's leadership and God's guidance upon his life. Why? Because God's hand is upon him. That's exactly what Jabez is asking for. Jabez is asking that God's hand would be on his life to guide him and give him the power that he needs to be used of God. Look down with me, if you would, at verse number 29, the end of Ezra chapter 7. Verse number 28, the last verse in the Ezra chapter 7. Notice this. And hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. What does God's hand do? God's hand gives you power. When God's hand is on your life, it gives you the power that you need to do the work that he has called you to do. But then number 2, when God's hand is on your life, it gives you direction, doesn't it? What does the Bible say about the steps of a good man? Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. As you take a step at a time in your Christian life, when God's hand is upon you, he orders your steps. He gives you guidance. He gives you direction for your life. So number 1, when God's hand is upon you, you'll see his power. Number 2, when God's hand is upon you, you'll see his direction. But then can I say this? Oh, this ought to encourage us. When God's hand is upon you, it will encourage you along the way. Have you ever had time as a Christian where you needed to be encouraged? The Bible says one of the greatest sources we can go to for encouragement is the Lord himself. He can strengthen us and he can encourage us. I want to show you a verse real quick. I don't want to pass by it. Psalm 139, and I'm going to read verse number 5. Psalm 139 and verse number 5. Notice this as we talk about God's hand being upon us. It says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. You talk about a place of encouragement. There's a place of encouragement when we have God's hand upon our life. Number 1, what do you see when God's hand is upon you? You see power for your life. Number 2, you see God's direction. And number 3, he finds ways to encourage you every step of the way. But could we go back to the final part of Jabez's prayer and we'll finish this morning. Here's what Jabez says in his prayer, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And look at the end of verse number 10. We've said number 1, he's asked for God's spiritual prosperity or grace. He's asked for widened horizons or growth. He's asked for God's hand to be upon him or guidance, but notice the last thing that he says, which by the way ought to be a part of our prayers as Christians. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 20, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. God, I want you to keep me from evil. Here's the last thing he prays for. He prays for deliverance from sin, or we're going to say it this way, he prays for godliness. He prays for godliness. He prays for God's grace. He prays for growth. He prays for guidance. But he prays for godliness. God, help me, spiritually speaking, to be what you want me to be. Help to deliver me from evil. Help me to be aware of the power of evil and aware of the fact that God can deliver me in times in which it's easier to give in to temptation and sin. God, I need you to deliver me. God, I want to be the godly man, the godly woman that you want me to be. I'm going to read a verse in the New Testament of our Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to read verse number 18 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to notice what it says. Notice this. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you know that God is able to deliver you from evil? As a matter of fact, he says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. You do not have to give in to the evil that's around you. You do not have to give in to the temptations and the sins and the lure of the flesh and the world and the devil around us. We do not have to give in to that because God can deliver us from evil and he can help us to live a life that glorifies him, a life that is pure, a life that is holy, a life that is godly, a life that is Christ-like. Would you ask God today, Lord, help me to be more godly? What is the reason why Jabez says that I want you to keep me from evil? He says that it may not grieve me. That it may not grieve me. That word grieve there in the verse has the idea that it'll spoil me spiritually. I'll get to the place where I will not be the influence. I won't be as effective as what I can be for Christ if I give in to the evil and the wicked that's around me. Lord, deliver me from it. Can I say this? Jabez didn't want his sin to grieve him, but God also says he doesn't want our sin to grieve him as well, doesn't he? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. What grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Sin and giving in to the evils of the world and the flesh and the devil. That's what grieves the heart of God. It makes him sad when we do that which we should not do as a Christian. Let's ask God for godliness. But then can we finish the verse? Because God answers his prayer, doesn't he? As we bring our message time to a close here, notice God answers the prayer at the end of verse number 10. And God granted him that which he requested. You know, many times we have not because we ask not. We don't ask. Jabez asked. Remember what we said at the very beginning of the message? He asked for definite requests, didn't he? God, I want grace. God, I want growth. I want guidance. I want godliness. And God granted him his request. We have not because we ask not. The Bible says it's also possible to ask amiss, but there's also the possibility of asking and receiving, believing and receiving. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It is possible to go to the Lord and asking and believing and be able to receive. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Jabez. So we saw Jabez's place in history. We saw his prayer, and the application will be very simple at the end. There's an application for you and I. And the application is that we do not stay in the safety of our comfort zone. But we ask God, God, enlarge my coast. Now, God, I need you to be with me. I want to grow. I want your grace. I need to live in godliness. But God, I'm going to need your guidance. I'm going to need you to be there with me. But God, I don't want to stay in my comfort zone. I don't want to stay just spiritually comfortable and spiritually satisfied. God, I want to see you enlarge my coast. Would we say that individually, but could we also this year say that as a church? Lord, help us as a church not to stay in our comfort zone, not to stay just satisfied or content with things the way they are, not to be satisfied, but to do great and mighty things for the Lord. Ask him for more, perhaps asking him for more ministries this year, asking God for more workers this year. One of the, if you look at our prayer sheet later, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart that I added to our prayer sheet, at the top of our prayer sheet, you'll see this under our church needs, it says the word laborers. We need laborers, don't we, in God's work? Perhaps that God would give us more workers, more laborers to get the work of the Lord done, perhaps more work to do, perhaps more fruit for the labor that's put forth, that we may make a difference for Christ, for the cause of Christ. That's what Jabez is praying. Lord, enlarge my coast. Help me to not get comfortable. Help me to not lose sight of what God can do through me if I will just ask Him. Would you ask the Lord today to enlarge your coast? Would you ask Him for grace? Would you ask Him for growth? Would you ask Him for His guidance? And would you ask Him to help you to live a life of godliness as well? Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being able to preach Your word this morning. And Lord,